Oh, Vince, I'm so done with winter. The bitter cold, the bustling winds, the long nights. I need winter to get out of here.
Aaron, I'm sorry. Did I hear you right? You're sick of winter? Let me take off my sunglasses, because I'm basking in the warm glow of spring over here.
Oh, now that you mention it, I'm starting to feel that springtime feeling creep up over me.
It's not coming from me. It's coming from this. This month's Tokyo Treat Box, celebrating the much-anticipated cherry blossom viewing season known as Hanami. That's right. Springtime is here, and it came early. And you can experience the enchanting beauty of Japan's Sakura season with Tokyo Treat's special Sakura Snacktastic Box. And if you didn't know, Tokyo Treat is a monthly pop Japanese subscription service where you get up to 20 exclusive, limited edition, and seasonally flavored Japanese snacks that are only available in Japan for a limited time. But they're going to send them right to you. Snacks like the Spring Cracker, the Sakura Castella Cake, Sakura Shortbread Cookie, Sakura Leaf Cracker, Sakura Mini Cookies, and other things that I swear aren't just Sakura. they have matcha-flavored Kit Kats, and so much more. And I know what you're thinking. Vince, this is a lot. There's a lot of snacks that you just ran me through, and they're coming straight from Japan. How am I going to know what's in the box? I don't read Japanese. You don't have to, because Tokyo Treat includes with every box a helpful booklet that gives you information not just about the snacks that you're having, but the seasons, the regions, and you get all kinds of wonderful information about the snacks that you're about to put in your mouth. Because they're delicious and you need to know. And one of them is the Mitsuya Cider, one of Japan's most popular sodas. So I'm going to give this a try right here on air because I'm thirsty and I cannot help myself.
Good. Ooh, crack.
Nice little crack. Mm-hmm. Hear the bubbles?
I hear the bubbles. First, that can on video. Looks so teeny in your hand. It's delight. What a delight.
And you know what else is delightful? The light, gingery, soft flavors that just dance on your tongue along with the bubbles. Makes it feel like Sakura leaves are falling all around you. I am so excited for everyone to try this box. We want you to experience Japan from the comfort of your own home through these snack boxes. And you know how you can do that? You can go to team.tokyotreat.com/kame. Use promo code KAME at checkout to get $5 off your first box. That's team.tokyotreat.com/kame. Get $5 off your first box.
We love it over here at the old KHB headquarters. It's always a wonderful treat when this Tokyo Treat box arrives at your door. We've had friends, family, coworkers, enemies, strangers, everyone who we've given these treats to have really enjoyed them. It's a nice little fun thing to eat.
Yeah. So eat up this deal. Use promo code KAME at $5, get $5 off your first box. When you go to tokyotreat.com and when you check out, use that promo code KAME at your first treat. The second treat is when it arrives on your door and you can enjoy these delicious snacks, just like I'm going to enjoy the last little bit of this soda. Kanpai.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Kame House Party. I am Aaron. And right now, it's just me for the universe's only improv comedy Dragon Ball Watch Along podcast. But we do have a very special guest joining me, filling in for hosting duties for this episode. You may know them from my other podcast, Thinking Too Hard About Anime. You may know them from other places along the internet. I'll let him let you know those internet places. But joining me today is Noah Carden. Noah, how are you?
Hey, how's it going?
It's good. What a change, because when we record, we usually hide our faces in shame.
Yeah, this is true. Did you see me doing the little dance to the theme?
I did see you doing the dance. So
yeah, just a little jig. It's a good theme. It's a good thing. Always.
Thank you. 8-Bit Suicide wrote her theme many years ago. It's been paying dividends. Fun fact, when Vince and I record, we also dance it up.
Nice.
During that part. Nice. So it's keep that tradition alive. Noah, how have you been? What's been going on?
I'm a bit congested at the moment, if I'm being honest. If you can't tell, dear listener, I am pretty stuffed up. But other than that, I'm actually doing pretty damn good.
Excellent. Happy to have you here.
Yeah, happy to be here.
We do have some sad news I think we just want to talk about at the top of the podcast. Very recently, we got the news that Akira Toriyama, the creator of Dragon Ball, the papa of Shonen, has passed away, I believe at the age of 68.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks. It's...
Yeah. No, I got the news last night, and yeah, it was shocking. I did not expect that at all, and it is an absolute tragedy. I mean, 68, while not particularly young, isn't that old, mm-hmm. especially nowadays. It feels like a different world now that he's gone.
Yeah, it's what I've enjoyed seeing during this time is just online so much love from so many different people. Reminding of not just Dragon Ball, but like mm-hmm. what an incredible comic artist and what an incredible storyteller he was. I'm like, I don't know. I've been doing this show for almost 8 years. I like the guy and his work. I think it's pretty clear.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly like you've been saying, all the outpouring of love across the internet has been amazing. I think that the two that really stand out to me is there is somebody showing the Shonen Jump issue, the cover of the Shonen Jump issue before Dr. Slump, his first like really big manga mm-hmm. came out, and like how all of the characters look super, super similar. And then the issue after, it is just this explosion that happens when he introduces his art style to the Shonen Jump, the weekly Shonen Jump magazine. It's incredible just like how influential he was, even at like the very beginning of his career, even before Dragon Ball, like the biggest thing in the world in comics ever, pretty much. And then the fact that the country, El Salvador, is having a national day of mourning. That is how important Akira Toriyama was to the world. Is there are countries out there that are mourning his loss. It's just incredible.
Yeah, he's going to be severely missed. Can't think of a better way to celebrate by doing what we do here. Watching and goofing around on Dragon Ball.
I just have to say, as a personal note, Dragon Ball was probably the first anime I remember watching and recognizing it as, oh, this is an anime. I remember seeing, I think the first bit of anime I ever saw was Dragon Ball, the episode where Goku becomes the Uzaru and destroys Pilaf's fortress, and they wish for the panties and everything. And then I think the next thing I saw was Dragon Ball Z, the Vegeta and Nappa on the bug planet. And then I very clearly, because it was very late at night, we were on vacation, and like I think me and my dad were both up watching it, and we watched this entire episode, and then it gets to the end where Vegeta blows up the bug planet,
And then I very distinctly remember my dad saying, "Oh, I guess they weren't the good guys after all."
Well, they're in armor. The story's about them, clearly.
Of course. It's like, it's this entire episode that is just them on this planet. We don't see anybody else like that entire episode. So you, if you have no other context, you think it's just about them. And then, oops.
They blew up everything. We thought they were being nice to these bugs. Let's get into it, into a little thing we call Kame Housekeeping. If you're a new listener, that's just letting you, the audience, get ready for the journey ahead. And the first part of Kame Housekeeping is the 1 minute roundup, which is where one of us, and this time Noah has mm-hmm. volunteered to summarize everything that the podcast has covered in Dragon Ball up to this point. I am talking 150 plus episodes of the original series. I'm talking 157 episodes of Dragon Ball Z. I see you getting so nervous as I'm rattling off the numbers.
You have gotten to the point where you have covered just as much Dragon Ball Z as you have covered Dragon Ball, and that is just kind of insane to me.
in equal measures. Mm-hmm. So you kind of know where you need to do the split. We do this. So again, if you're new, you don't have to go back and watch all of Dragon Ball. You don't have to listen to our old episodes of the podcast. You can just start with the latest and greatest episode. So Noah, before we begin, I have to ask you, are you ready to round up?
Hell yeah, I am.
All right, here we go. In 3, 2, 1.
Dragon Ball is the story of Goku, a little monkey boy who becomes a little monkey man who, we turn out, comes from outer space. But as a boy, he fights a whole bunch of bad guys, including an evil army, the Red Ribbon Army. Keep that in mind. That's going to come back into play very, very soon. He then grows up. He defeats an evil demon king who's also turns out to be an alien, as we learn later, and then gets married, has a kid. He has to fight a bunch of other aliens from the same species. He then goes to fight their boss, gets super, super strong, turns out to be a super strong, legendary Super Saiyan, then disappears in space. His son takes over things for a little while, and then he comes back, but it turns out he has, like, heart palpitations or something like that, and then this kid from the future comes along. Turns out he's, like, the son of this other guy, his greatest rival, and then they are fighting a bunch of evil androids, and now there's this super evil android who's a little bug man who's trying to eat this girl after he ate her twin brother, and now Krillin has, his friend, has a remote that's going to destroy this girl.
Yes!
I think that's most of it.
You got much of it.
I should have noted that the androids were because of the Red Ribbon Army. That's the only thing I kind of missed connecting there. That's it.
Let me look at the top of the title. Out of 322 episodes of doing this, I don't think either of us in the roundup has said Frieza is the Saiyan's boss.
I mean,
so I appreciate that. He is.
He is. He 100% is. Like, he is their boss. And then, you know, Vegeta, I guess he gets fired. It's kind of like, you can't fire me, I quit situation. Mm-hmm.
You and can't then they fire utilize me,
the Namekians against him.
But what a wonderful roundup. Thank you so much. And you have allowed us to move on to the next part of Kame Housekeeping, which is where we inform the audience that usually we watch two different versions of the episode. I watch the Japanese language English subtitled version. Noah, what version did you watch?
So I watched the English dub version, but I technically watched two English dub versions. They're the same dub, it turns out.
All right.
I watched the official, like, Crunchyroll/Funimation, even though Funimation is gone. I don't know.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah. It's a whole bag of worms. But I watched the official English dub on their website. And I also watched a VHS rip of somebody's Toonami recording of this episode. They are the same, other than the music and, like, the opening and closing and, like, commercial break sting. But, like, all the dialogue, all that's the same exact dub. It's the same audio files, okay, whatever you want to say. But, like, the music's different. It's got, like, this weird kind of, like, synthy music thing that, to me, is, like, the Dragon Ball music, even though I know it's not.
Yeah.
But it's also in true 4x3 as opposed to the kind of cropped widescreen that Crunchyroll tries to put out there nowadays. So
don't tell Vince this, but I, all those years ago, I'm very happy I got saddled with the sub, because for my end on Crunchyroll, I do get 4x3.
Really?
Yes. And it wasn't always the case. It, like, fluctuated, but, like, it's a different video file on Crunchyroll.
Weird. Because, yeah, watching it on Crunchyroll, the dub, it is the, like, 16x9, like, widescreen.
I hate it. It's gross.
Like, crop. Yeah. Yeah, come on. Like, I'm all for whatever the native format is for a particular media. That's what you should put on everywhere. If there are options, like, if it's like a, you know, your IMAX situation where there's, like, a whole bunch of different, like, frames that you can kind of have it, and just have those all available. I'll watch it with, like, columns or, you know, all sorts of different bars. I'll do whatever, man.
Yeah, this is what thinking, if you don't know, this is what thinking too hard about anime is mostly about, is us saying, why isn't this in its original
aspect
form?
Ratios.
We love them all. Okay, so, thank you for watching a different version.
Yes, of course.
Because it allows us to compare and contrast between the two. Sometimes the differences are big, sometimes they're small, but the first difference is usually the title. So, Noah, could you please give me the title of your episode?
So, my title is Dragon Ball Z. Episode 158, Krillin's Decision.
Krillin 2024.
You know what? I'd vote for him.
he makes a decision eventually. He's not much of a flip-flopper. You could have a beer with him. Roshi has.
Yeah, said several. You know what? Maybe not. I've seen his past. I don't know. I don't know if I approve of. He becomes a cop in the future. Maybe not. Maybe I'll roll that back.
You don't approve this message.
Yeah. This is not paid for Krillin for Senate 2024.
Good title. The title for mine is funnier. For episode 158 of Dragon Ball Z, the original Japanese title, roughly translated, is "I'm So Distraught! Kuririn's Handiwork in Destroying Number 18.
Wait, hit me again with that one more time. It's
"I'm So Distraught."
Uh-huh.
And then their romanized version of Krillin.
Yes, Kuririn, yeah.
Kuririn's handiwork. It's hard for a southern man, / me. Kuririn's handiwork in destroying number 18.
That's incredible. His handiwork. See, that makes you sound like he does it. Like, spoilers, I guess.
by the way...
Man.
Yeah, handiwork.
Just down there in the workshop, you know, getting the planers out. Just
today, when we destroyed this android, I used a reclaimed teak from an old barn door to make the controller.
Yes, yes.
But that is the end. That is the end of Kame Housekeeping. We now get into the main discussion.
There is one difference in the voice cast between the current, like, Crunchyroll Funimation dub and the broadcast Toonami dub, mm-hmm. in that they have changed the narrator voice.
Ooh, okay.
The original is, like, the classic, next time on Dragon Ball Z! Like, it is much more subdued in the current Crunchyroll version. It is just, like, a sort of normal kind of, like, you know, next time on Dragon Ball Z. That kind of much more mid, not quite as extreme surfer vibes that you got from the original one. But okay, but continue. That's the only thing I just remember.
Now I just think that they got the, well, Cyclops did it in the X-Men animated series. But now I'm just thinking of previously on X-Men.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's it's very much that. If you replace that guy with, like, his surfer cousin, like, 90s extreme, like, X Games cousin, that's the original guy, and they replaced him with the X-Men guy.
Oh, that is... Oh, bring back surfer cousin.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's just the music that makes me think surfer, because, like, that original, you know, Catch the Dragon theme has that surfer string to it, so that's always connected in my brain.
Yeah, it's very Dick Dale, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Very much so.
So yeah, Krillin is there freaking out. Cell is just having a fit, and the funny part to me about this is, like, the crossfades they do between his face.
Mm-hmm. Yes. He's screaming, and it just cuts to, like, three different angles while he's doing it. He's such a whiny baby this entire episode.
Yeah, he's been, ever since he became imperfect or incomplete.
Semi-perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's just a big bug baby.
I do have to note, when Krillin is, the first thing we see out of Krillin, this episode for me, as he's looking around the island looking for 18, he's like, you know, surely she's still not on this island. She must be, though. Girls are funny.
Krillin, no!
like, what are you doing, man?
Ever notice how androids love the beach even though they're in imminent peril? But guys, you know what I'm talking about.
You can't go out with your android, but she says, I'll be just a minute, and then it's like 30 minutes later. Come on, man. Get some new material.
The dog pound's going crazy, though. They're So, Krillin, come on. How did she fall for him?
She likes a shiny head, I guess.
I can make him do what I want.
Short King, you know. That's probably the first man that hasn't tried to, like, beat her up or absorb her or something, you know.
Ladies, ever realize how men are either trying to beat you up or absorb you to become a perfect being? What's up with that?
I'm all for a relationship, but that's going way too far.
I can't move in with you, let alone be a singular organism.
Osmos with you. I'm not even sure if that's the right scientific term, but I'm going with it.
Osmos. This girl tried to osmos with me, and I'm like, this is a Christian podcast. So, Vegeta. As Cell is complaining about not being perfect, Vegeta, yes. His ears begin to perk up. He's like, I'm listening, go on.
I'm a little kitty cat.
Meow, meow, what's up?
I hear you messing with the can opener.
yeah, he's, ooh, this, Cell's, I don't think Cell is smart enough at this point to be able to lure him in. I don't think it's some, like, grand design from Cell, but it is Cell going, he's just listing all the ways he'd be cool if he became perfect. He's like, I'd be, that's not the voice.
I'd be very strong. Very fast, just super cool. I'd get straight A's.
And then
I like that. I like that semi-perfect cell is part Nixon. It's one of the cells in him.
That's what we figured out for this one. He's just mm-hmm. he's a lot of jowls.
He is very jowly. Yes.
And in mine, he tops off that list with, "That's what the computer told me." I read it online, Vegeta.
Yeah. In my side, it's mainly him complaining about Vegeta and saying that he's a fool who doesn't even know what true power could be. And that, you know, if he absorbed 18, he'd be even stronger and Vegeta would be a nobody.
All right. If I'm Vegeta, that's going to get my goat.
Yeah. And then Vegeta just kicks his ass more. Just keeps like popping up like behind him, blasting him, kicking him, all sorts of stuff.
That's a lot. Fight wise, that is a lot of what's going on.
Yeah, it's Cell complains and then Vegeta shows up and like kicks him like across the island.
Speaking of the island in a different part, mm-hmm. 18 and 16 are still watching the fight. 18 is wondering what happened. Is this a trick? Did mm-hmm. Vegeta just pretend that he was weak this whole time? And 16's like, no, he's just strong. He's strong now. He did it.
Yeah. He's not the type to hold back.
good Arnold. Good 18 or 16.
Yeah. He's not the type to hold back. Yeah. Whatever he did, he became much stronger. All right, man.
And this is when we cut to the sky. And Krillin, he sees 18 and he does what I do when I see a pretty woman. I freeze in midair and drop my remote.
Mm-hmm. Same. He's, you know, you ever just flying through the islands and you see your crush and you're mm-hmm. like, oh no, my remote. It's
my remote that can kill her. Oh no. he kind of.
You know what? Krillin. Dropping remotes, dropping spaghetti. He's not for this. He's not built for this.
Not at all. He gets a resolve because he realizes like, oh, I have to be close. So he starts to float down. This whole sequence is a little weird because we have Krillin just tiptoeing
mm-hmm.
towards 18, trying to get some composure, and he's just thinking about that first kiss that he got from 18, he's having this internal struggle. Some might say he's distraught about it.
Yes.
And then squirrel lands on top of his head to kind of snap him out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he
mm-hmm.
sees it run over to 16 shoulders. And in mine, I think, I have a feeling mine is played a little more silent than yours. Mm-hmm. But in mine, he's sort of, to me, this was like the squirrels like the androids. So maybe there's something good about them.
Yeah, I don't think they really play into that. Again, I think that part of it is fairly silent. Like, a lot of Krillin's dialogue this entire episode is just him worrying about, oh man, 18's so pretty, 18's so cool. I gotta blow her up or like freeze her. But like, she kissed me though, but I can't. But she kissed me, though. Like, you gotta do it for everybody. You gotta save the world, Krillin. But she kissed me, though.
That doesn't mean anything, Krillin.
Yeah. Yeah, man. She was just being cute. I do like that Bulma gets a cameo in this one. One part where, like, Krillin remembers that he has to get within, like, 10 meters for the remote to be effective. So he has, like, this little flashback of Bulma. It's like, man, Bulma, why do you have to be so smart?
uh, He's, well, I mean, he's not. So good wondering on that. Yeah, I don't think mine had so much, if any, of him saying, oh, she's pretty. Better not blow her up.
Yeah, like, mainly, like, it's especially bad when he gets to, like, within eyesight of her, and it's, like, getting down to the wire of the episode, and he's just like, but, man, she's like, hold on, let me find, I actually wrote down, like, at one point, he's thinking about it, and he's like, man, Krillin, you can't let your feelings cloud your judgment, and then he immediately thinks about her, like, wishing him good luck and, like, moving in for, like, the kiss, and he's like, oh, man, that was cloudy. That was very cloudy. Very poor visibility. And, yeah.
God, I'm all clouded up. Please take this away from me.
Yeah, no, he's got some wild dialogue.
Oh, that is nuts. I love that.
But yeah, that's a lot of what Krillin does this episode. He's just trying to get in close and then gets real nervous.
Mm-hmm. There, after this, we see both Trunks and 16 start to have the same thought of,
mm-hmm.
I know Vegeta's he's getting kind of interested.
Mm-hmm.
I think he might let Cell do it. And like we get, so Cell he's able to explain himself a little more. Basically talking to Vegeta and saying, hey, you love to fight. You're a Saiyan. I'm part Saiyan too, by the way. So we should be cool.
I'm 1/16th Saiyan on my mother's side.
I'm just like you. he's like, Saiyans love to fight. And you love to fight strong dudes, and you're the prince of all Saiyans, so huh? And that's like kind of his argument.
Mm-hmm.
You're the prince. Mm-hmm. You want this, right?
Yeah. Don't you want to be the best?
Like no one ever was.
To fight them is your real cause.
You don't have to travel across the land. I'm right here.
Yeah. Let me travel to this island to find 18.
Just get a juice box and let me find 18 real quick.
Yeah. What kind of juice box do you think Vegeta likes?
Oh, whatever.
Think he's an Apple man? Does he like a V8? Vegeta's?
No, I think he is constantly going, I could have had a V8.
Damn it. He's got like a bunch of little V8 jukeboxes, little tomato juices in his pod when he's traveling to Earth. Bulma. They taste good when we're in space. The atmospheric differences changes your taste buds.
The atmosphere, the pressure. I actually enjoy it. But we gotta go enjoy this commercial.
Lights, camera, adaptations. Ever watched your favorite book become a movie and said, well that certainly was a weird decision? Of course you have. Hollywood is constantly making changes for their adaptations, and this podcast aims to answer the question of why. Join host Emma Shannon and a different guest every month on Unnatural Selection, a new Moonshot Network podcast, as they talk about a film, its source material, and what makes an adaptation good, faithful, and less commonly, good and faithful. Check out episode 1, coming to a podcatcher near you on February 15th.
Krillin, I think he finally gets on. Actually, no, he doesn't. he's like, okay, let me just imagine her getting absorbed by Cell, and that'll motivate me. Nope, I'm still thinking about kisses. Whoops.
Yep. Constantly.
In mine, he mentions that like he's like, it's unfortunate because mine plays more on the like she's actually human kind of aspects, where it's like, oh, I feel so bad that Dr. Giroux messed her up. She could have just had like a regular life.
Okay. My version, he just says that she's real. Like, he just keeps saying the word real a lot. He's like, well, can a man love an android? She's like, she's not real, but she's standing right there. Of course she's real, but can a man truly love an android? Can an android love a man? And yeah, that's like the thought process going through his head.
That's his qualifier.
Yeah. He doesn't even think about like her, because I mean, in the dub, they're constantly called androids, and we I don't know if we find out early in the series or not, but they are technically cyborgs. They were human once and then turned into machines. So they never, I don't think they ever really talk about that in the dub, or if they do, it's way later.
I feel like it might be way later.
Yeah, I don't think it's until a little person comes along. So yeah, like, yeah, no, he's just talking about like how she's a real person, basically. It's very Blade Runner. He's Deckard, she's Rachel. Go watch your classic sci-fi cinema, kids.
16's just there like, I've seen sights you wouldn't believe. Lost like tears in rain.
Oh, I want to see Krillin do the test.
You're giving me lots of kisses. How do you feel about it?
A doctor comes along. He shows you a little bug. How does that make you feel?
A guy with a lot of jowls wants to absorb you. What do you do? Yeah, just give her the Voight comp tip. That's how you know.
Yeah.
I love that they actually, his indecision sends him into a literal spiral. And they just,
yes,
like,
whoop, whoop, yes, whoop, whoop. A lot of spinny cameras. I love that we get the spin and then we go into a completely separate scene of Goku and Gohan just having a nice bath.
It is a very nice and sweet scene. Goku's like, rest is important. Rest is a part of all this.
He does a Super Saiyan splash attack. That's what he calls it when they start having a splash battle.
I do have to say, I miss buff babies in original Dragon Ball. Gohan is too cut.
He's too cut.
Because I think
little freakazoid.
I think he's only like 7 or 8 at this point. I forget the exact
age. Oh, geez, yeah.
But he's too buff to be a child. Be a buff baby. That's such a great design.
Yeah, like, what? He's 5 when he gets kidnapped by Raditz?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like a year for the Saiyans. Another year for like Frieza, right?
Mm-hmm. And then it's like 3 years before. No, it's 3 years of training between Trunks and the androids.
Okay, so that's right? 3.
I think, if I'm remembering.
So
I only cover
7. Then if it's like 3 years between.
Maybe he's 10.
It's like 10.
Okay.
He's 10 going on like 11 in the hyperbolic time chamber. Mm-hmm. Still, way too cut. This child, you get some baby fat back on that boy. Gotta fatten him up.
Yeah, he's too... he's just... Because when we first meet Goku, he is a young teen. And he's just a short, squat, little round guy.
He's just a round little guy, a round little fella.
That's the optimal design. That's the... Speaking of Toriyama and his character design, that's...
It's so good. Like all of Dr. Slump, like all the characters look like that. They're all just chunky little good fellas.
Mm-hmm. And he can be strong. He can still be strong. He doesn't need... I'm like, no, this... This... This HGH Gohan.
SSJ HGH Gohan.
It's only $2.99 to download that for Kakarot. So we have, again, Krillin, I think we unspin back to him.
It spirals back out of the shot, which is
beautiful. That's filmmaking.
Cinema, baby.
Krillin, again, distraught. I'm just getting tired of this. I didn't realize I wrote that down so much in my notes of like, Krillin, still thinking about getting kissed. Still not knowing what to do.
He thinks about it a lot. Yeah, this is where his lines about the clouded judgment and all that comes in, like right after the Saiyan splash fight.
He freaks out so much that he again drops the remote, alerting the androids to his presence.
Yes.
And then 18 is like, wait, how'd you get here? Wait a minute. I know what that is. And she recognizes that is an emergency shutoff remote.
Very astute, because it is just like a box with a big red button on it. Like it is a cartoon remote control.
Can go to anything.
Yeah, got a big red shiny button that could blow up the planet for all she knows. She just immediately knows what it is. Very, mm-hmm. very informed.
We get back to Vegeta. Mm-hmm. And this is when he's like, all right, I'll fall for your trap.
Yeah.
Sure, why not? Let's go.
I've gone beyond Super Saiyan. And then Trunks tries to talk some sense into his father. He's like, you're just trying to exploit your weak point, Dad. Like, don't do it. Don't fall for it. He's like, nah, I'm gonna do it, though.
Sure, but I want to see.
But what if? Huh? You think about that? Huh?
What if he's not that powerful, Trunks?
How strong could he possibly be? Super Saiyan 3? I mean, come on.
That's impossible. No. Sounds dumb. Four, silly.
Some sort of god, maybe? Pshaw!
He certainly wouldn't have some sort of instinct that is ultra'd.
Some sort of beast mode.
You're telling me this guy could go ham? I don't think so, Trunks.
Off the shits? What are you talking about?
He has no grind set, Trunks. How can he possibly?
Sigma cell sounds stupid.
He's an alpha at best.
Doesn't make any sense at all.
In mine, he just threatens to beat his child. Instead. He says, he'll fix it so you'll never take that insolent tone with me again.
Damn. Yeah, less threats of child abuse. Less threats of adult child abuse, because Trunks is his adult son.
Mm-hmm. So finally tries to go off, and Trunks has to step in physically. Mm-hmm.
Literally steps in the way, yeah.
Cut to Krillin. He finally makes a decision. Controller in hand. He throws it on the ground and... Well, he didn't have the controller in the hand. He just steps on it. He crushes the controller.
I think, I can't remember if it's like right after we get back to them or right before we leave them, but 18 does say, man, he sure looks mad
about to Krillin.
Yeah. Because he's got like this really kind of like intense face on. He's like, man, he sure looks mad. And then, yeah, Krillin destroys the remote. It's like, I came here to kill you, but... And then crushes it. You've got to escape. If you fly low, he won't see you.
Also, Mazel Tov. We're married now.
Yeah, exactly. That, you know what? Yes.
Under Krillin tradition. There is a part where 18, she doesn't run away. She just asks him, like, why he did that. Mm-hmm. In mine, Krillin doesn't have an answer. He can't answer.
It's kind of the same. He can kind of like, well, he wants to say, like, I'm in love with you, but he can't get it out. Like, he's like, well, I can't,
When a man loves an appliance very much,
I guess I do like a toaster. I'm going to show you this little show. It's called Battlestar Galactica. It's a remake of a show from the 70s.
It'll explain everything. Don't watch the remake. Actually, I don't know. I've watched no Battlestar Galactica.
The show from the 70s is like, hey, we got our hands on a bunch of old Star Wars props. Let's make a show out of that.
Nice.
And then the remake is, hey, we're going to talk about prophecies and God a lot. And people are going to get very mad when, hey, at the end of the series, prophecies and God come into play. Even though it's a series all about fighting robots and who's the Cylons. The Cylons look like people now.
Oh, dang.
But when they have sex, their spines heat up and you can see the sexy lady Cylon spine start to glow.
Are you saying someone made a some nerd made a show where like, and the only way to tell if they're robots is the, you're telling me Krillin made a show where it's like the only way to tell if they're robots is to have, sex with them.
Yes, exactly. That's what Krillin was doing in the break right before the, what's his name? About to call him Goblin Jr. Garlic Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Came back. That's how he got his nice fancy suit. That's where he made his money for a while.
I pitched a good show.
Pitching Battlestar Galactica to the West City TV stations.
Basic cable, that's fine.
Yes. You can get away with it.
It was an 11 p.m. time slot, so. Then we have... So Trunks is going to stop Cell. He turns Super Saiyan. Hate Trunks is Super Saiyan hair currently with the ponytail.
Yeah, it's not good. I don't think Trunks ever really gets a great look outside of his initial appearance. Like, I think that is like top tier Trunks in my opinion. Everything else, some of it's good, but I still think it's kind of lacking compared to that first appearance look.
It's just solid. He's got the BTS K-pop look down.
That lovely 90s like center part bowl cut kind of thing with the short jacket, very tiny jacket.
Oh no, it's back now. The Gen Z love a middle part.
Everybody's gonna start looking like a oh geez. What's his name? The animator did Fievel and Anastasia.
Don Bluth?
Yes, everybody's gonna start looking like a Don Bluth man. If you go look at a bunch of 90s Don Bluth men, they all have that haircut.
Every handsome man in a Don Bluth Treasure Planet. No, that was his.
Yes. Yeah, no. I think that was us right around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Titan AE.
Okay, yeah, okay, that, yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. A Matt Damon.
Yes.
90s.
Exactly.
90s Matt Damon. Mm-mm-mm.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, Trunks goes Super Saiyan, and there's kind of a standoff between Cell. Vegeta's just yelling at his son. And that's where everyone sees where 18 is. Cell sees him.
Yes, Cell sees him. My favorite part of that, though, is like Trunks gets in his way a couple of times. He keeps trying to like get out of it, and Trunks gets in his way, and Cell turns around and is like, "Vegeta, I thought we talked about this." And then he notices Cell as he's, or notices 18 as he's complaining, like as he's whining to Vegeta about their deal.
Trunks is picking on me. He won't let me absorb 18.
I just want to absorb that teenage blonde haired woman.
After that, he can have the controller.
Trunks showing up to my turn to play Xbox.
Bulma said that she said that I can have a turn and just
got any games on your phone? Got any games on your Dragon Radar?
Can you absorb some real quick? Yeah, the 18's been spotted. It's now things are heating up, but that's pretty much the end of the episode. My announcer says something interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Will Krillin's affections turn to their harm?
Huh.
But no mention of Vegeta.
Yeah. Strange.
Will Vegeta being just a giant idiot fuck things up for the crew?
Yeah, like I get pretty much the same sort of gist there. So not too big of a divergence, but it's yeah. So that's kind of it though.
Yeah, that's then the episode. That's
the episode. Then I get the Toonami outro, which is just some space stuff going on.
Space stuff. And some lo-fi beats.
Yeah, some lo-fi beats. Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Love me some old school Toonami. The Deep Space Bass. That's a Toonami album. Go check it out.
Very good. With that, we'll go to a little mail. We have some words from Master Researcher Nick. So they write, I hate to be that guy, despite my status as master researcher making me that guy by default. True.
True. This is true.
But I noticed last episode you were still calling Cell imperfect Cell. Officially, with one android absorbed, this is semi-perfect Cell, which you told me this episode. Or if you're a fan of the legacy of Goku GBA games, non-perfect Cell. Does that mean we can do both? I like non-perfect better than semi-perfect.
Non-perfect Cell is pretty good, yeah.
All right, because I'm a nasty boy. When I think of semi-perfect, I think of like a semi. A gentleman having a semi. And I hate it.
I think of a trucker Cell.
He's got semi, yes!
He's got his 18-wheeler. He's ready to long haul across Dragon Ball land. Sure is a bunch of long empty deserts out here. Full of dinosaurs and maces.
Four cities in the entire world, huh? All right. Mm.
Well, gotta go all between all four of them.
Yeah, the logistics in Dragon Ball of just shipping.
Well, they just put it all in, it's just a lot of capsules.
You still gotta send them out.
Yeah.
I guess, No, there are trains, there are planes, mm-hmm. there are automobiles. We know people do truck. We've seen commercial trucks in the show. They've been blown
truckers,
up many times.
Farmers, all your blue collar workers.
Dragon Ball's blue collar as hell, I think is what we're discovering.
Definitely. I mean, Frieza was based off of Toriyama's absolute hatred of like land. What's the term? Not prospectors, something like that. though?
People,
speculators, land speculators, real estate speculators. Absolutely hated him. That's why he made Frieza the way he was.
Toriyama, still given. Nick continues to write.
Oh yes, there's an email.
Awesome. No, that's what normally happens here. We'll just talk for something else for about 5 minutes. Also, as I've gotten older, I've softened on Krillin's decision to destroy the remote. It's never brought up, but Krillin has never been portrayed as a cold-hearted unaliver. The most violent he's ever gotten was when he destroyed a handful of Sabermen, and we don't even know if those little freaks were sentient slash sapient. In addition, it's easy to forget, but Earth has no Dragon Balls at this point, and we've no idea if Earth is in contact with Namek. And with the dub beating Western viewers over the head that 18 is an android, we don't know if she can even be brought back with the Dragon Balls. Or, since she's actually a cyborg, if she'd come back with her cyborg bits. Keep fighting, Master Researcher Nick. So yeah, how are we feeling about Krillin in this decision? I mean, it did work out, and we know it works out in the end.
Well, I'm thinking about it, and I'm also like, has Krillin had a outside of the dubious canonical nature of one Marin? Has Krillin had like a girlfriend outside of just kind of like hanging around Bulma or like launch?
I think we've determined that 100% that was Krillin's first kiss was from 18.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He just hangs out with an old. He's on an island. He's in the middle of nowhere.
He's got some real fucked up views about relationships, I think. Mm-hmm. Hanging out with this pervert old man in his exercise videos. I think the first time a woman showed him any real sort of like affection, even if it was just kind of like a cutesy, hey, I'm not gonna kill you kind of thing, is just down bad immediately. Down bad, diabolical. But I do get it. Like, you're suddenly having to deal with this person who, yeah, they're really friggin' evil, or at least they were really friggin' evil, but then they're gonna be absorbed by something even more evil and powerful. So I can see having just like at least some sympathy there, and wanting to like kind of try and protect them. But I mean, going full on, like, I think I'm in love with this girl off of one kiss. Krillin, homie, you got to get out there sometimes.
Just like there's definitely, I can see his thinking of just like, this could be my only chance. I'm like, no, yeah. You're fine. Hang out with Yamcha.
Yeah. Baseball players.
Mm-hmm. Just fly around. I think that would, if nothing else, start a conversation with a stranger.
How have you not tried to go to like a Budokai, like a World's Martial Arts tournament or something like that? And just kind of like shown off, try and pick up some girls, you know, something. Mm-hmm. You gotta, come on, man. You can fly. You can destructo disc.
That's
want to like, see me open a bunch of beer cans?
This is, get into the party lifestyle is what we're saying, Krillin. You are assumingly in your 20s. Now's the time to fuck up.
Yeah. Yeah. You should be in the club, Krillin.
Don't get bottle service. Don't pay for it. Just fly away slash beat everyone up.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Krillin, break out the white suit.
Break out the white suit. Like, look and fly. And you can fly.
That's wonderful. Nick, thank you for your email.
Thank you, Nick.
Appreciate it, as always. And yeah, that's the end of the episode. Noah, thank you so much for coming on
Yeah, of course.
Taking this crazy ride with me. Where can the good people find you?
So, probably the best place to find me is you can go to kamenotaku.com. That's K-A-M-E-N-O-T-A-K-U. That is my link tree that has like all my socials and stuff like that on it. I'm still primarily on Twitter, I know, but I do have like a Blue Sky, a co-host, a Tumblr, all that good stuff. So you can go follow me all those places. I have a Twitch that I will occasionally stream to. Now that I've moved into my new house, I can start streaming and doing all sorts of stuff there. So look for that in the near future. And then you can catch me over at Thinking Too Hard About Anime, the other podcast that I do with Aaron here, where we talk about anime even more. And as he likes to say over there, this is kind of the opposite of that podcast, where we do a lot of like research and really kind of like, again, think too hard about the anime. We really try and dive into it and come up with our own opinions and kind of like thoughts about like, hey, what do you think they were trying to say here, that kind of stuff. We have 4 seasons so far. We're in the middle of our 4th season. We're covering all of Neon Genesis Evangelion. That's you can not recap. But
you did air parentheticals.
Yes, I did. But our first season is all about Cowboy Bebop. Our second season is all about Hideaki Anno's works outside of Evangelion. So like Gunbuster and Nadia and Shin Godzilla, all that stuff. And then our third season was all about the late, great Satoshi Kon and his films and the works he did earlier, his manga work, all that stuff. So we really get into it. We really try and get as much material as we can. So go check that out wherever you get your podcasts.
Awesome. Yes, please go. Please check that out.
Yes.
And y'all know these KHP boys. You can find us on all the social. Please rate and review both Kame House Party and Thinking Too Hard About Anime. Tell a friend. It helps other people find the podcast. Vince and I are still over on Twitch, twitch.tv/Kame House Party. Might be a little irregular, but we're usually doing Wednesdays where we stream a variety of games and having a variety of fun. We are so happy to be a part of the Moonshot Network of podcasts. Go over to moonshotpods.com. You're gonna find your next favorite podcast. I guarantee it. And then I believe on this one, you're going to hear at the beginning an ad for Tokyo Treat. So use the, if you want a monthly Japanese pop snack subscription box sent directly to your door, just find the link in the show notes. Go to team.tokyotreat.com/kame. Use K-A-M-E for $5 off your first box. It's great. It's delicious.
It sounds delicious. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to go check that out right now.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that's it. So I'm going to try and do Vince justice. So whether you are whining about Trunks to his dad, or if you see an android and you got it down bad, you gotta
keep
five.